pollsters after the debate. I just think it's going to be a very important debate. The American people have watched one or two. This is the playoff. So I think it's going to be very important.
What do you think the qualities are that will be most important that might emerge from this final debate?
Well, my own view is that who can both best communicate with the American people. I don't really believe they want a computer who can rattle off the most statistics, but I do believe the American people like to feel that you've talked with them after the debate. I think the relaxed atmosphere and attitude, but still firm in the proper sense.
Senator, how much do you expect to carry Louisiana, Brian?
You know, I haven't added up any numbers, but I, you know, one vote or more. You know, it's close. I don't say it's going to be a landslide, but we'll settle for a victory. We're told it looks pretty good.
Senator, there's been increasing complaints about national advertising. Most recent complaint I'm told is from Vernon Jordan of the Urban League about ads picturing some black leaders with President Ford. And Vernon Jordan was included in those, and he has complained, and apparently the White House decided today to yank those ads. There's charges that the Republicans are using misleading or unfair advertising. How do you respond to that?
What ad are you talking about?
Well, there was a newspaper ad that pictured black leaders with President Ford, and Vernon Jordan was included, and he said he didn't want to be associated, saying that he hadn't endorsed President Ford, and they were going to pull the ad.
Well, if that's the case, I think they did the right thing in pulling the ad.
Do you think there's been a lot of misleading advertising?
Well, if that's what Carter calls his speeches, a lot of misleading statements made. I haven't seen any of the ads. I haven't seen that one. I've seen a little ad on Newsweek and Playboy. But, you know, those are facts. He did have an interview in Playboy, and President Ford had one in Newsweek. And I think the American people can read each interview and make a judgment.
What does that have to do with who's being present on the magazine?
Well, I don't think it's. I think it's the content. Some may look at the cover, but. I think it's a judgmental decision they made. He made his to talk to Playboy, and President Ford did not. So I think the American people can derive something from that.
Didn't
he
Secretary
talks about
Simon
moral
also,
leadership.
Didn't Secretary Simon also have an interview in Playboy?
He's not running for president. Is he running for president?
You think it makes a difference?
Oh, I think it makes a difference, yes.
Why?
Very much of a difference. We're talking about the highest office in our land, elective office. The highest elective office in our land, the leader of the free world. And I don't care how many interviews Carter has. That's his own personal decision, as long as they affect just Carter. But he might make those same bad judgments next year. That might affect you and me, and I'm concerned about that.
Well, if giving an interview to Playboy isn't picking up a bad judgment, why hasn't the president asked for Mr. Simon's resignation or stopped him from campaigning as a surrogate?
Last question.
Well, I think the judgment is, as I said, running for the highest office in our land. Yeah. McGovern gave an interview with Playboy, too.
What's wrong with giving?
Well, we'll find out what's wrong. I just wouldn't do it. I think it's a question of judgment. I think we have several other sources where we can communicate our views in the weekly news magazines or electronic media, the newspapers. I just wouldn't make that judgment.
Thank you very much.
Prestige of the United States in four of the major Western European nations is at its lowest level in 22 years. They don't think America is on the increase anymore. We've already reached our peak and are on the decline. What is your reaction to that?
Last question, please.
Well, my reaction was pretty much expressed by some statements I saw from Prime Minister Rabin in Israel saying that they're at the peak. The leader of France and West Germany saying our relations have never been better. I think we're respected in the world, and it's because we're strong, and we're free, and we have experienced leadership.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. It is directed to their concern. We're keenly aware that his distinguished career in the governmental affairs of our nation, bringing him to this occasion in Shreveport this afternoon, represents outstanding accomplishment for the handicapped. Ladies and gentlemen, join me again in welcoming Senator Doe. Senator.
Well, I appreciate that very much, and I'm very pleased to be here, and I'll be totally nonpartisan, I promise. I won't say anything either bad or good about anybody. I think, just to sort of let you know how all this happens, I remember speaking one time in Indiana when I arrived. It was early in my political career, and when I arrived that afternoon to speak, the advance ticket sale had already reached 10, and the local chairman was beside himself. They're about to have a disaster on their hands. His name was Congressman Bob Dole. And so they rushed me out to the radio station, thought they'd interview me a little bit, and so they started through the biography that I was born in Russell and all this, and Russell, Kansas, and I was in Congress, and I'd suffered injuries and so forth. And as I left the radio station to go back to town, the radio announcer was sort of summarizing the interview, and he said that Congressman Dole from western Kansas had been here, and he was born and raised and all those other things that are necessary. And he went on to say that prior to World War II, he was a pre-medical student, that he suffered a serious head injury in the war, and then went into politics. So I... I don't know how you got here, but I know I got here. But seriously, I feel very much at home with this audience, and I could sit down and talk to any of you, I think, for a long time, and would be very helpful to me and an inspiration to me to see the good work that goes on, and I really applaud to those who make it possible. I spent some time in hospitals. I probably could have gotten out earlier, but there was many good-looking nurses in those days, and it was sort of hard to leave, so I stayed around about 39 months, as I remember, and even got one promotion in a hospital. I was there so long, they promoted me from first lieutenant to captain. I don't know if my records got lost or whatever, but it was a very interesting experience for a number of reasons. First, you learn how to adjust, and you do learn how to adjust very quickly, and whether you're members of the Strokers Club or whatever, to be walking along one day and the next day you're not walking along and somebody's wheeling you along, hopefully the next day, or then you start that long, long road back on rehabilitation. And in addition to having a very profound impact on your life, I think it sort of broadens your outlook and you understand other people's problems. You understand there's more to life than running around the track. And I was quite an athlete then. I thought the world had come to an end because I couldn't shoot baskets and do all those things. And I was interested in medical education, but I decided I'd have to use my head instead of my hands, and so I went to law school. But it's a long rehabilitative process, and I'm not here to talk about myself, but I want to communicate with some of the others who have, none of us have any problems, you understand. It's just the other people who have problems. We've got certificates to prove we don't have problems. But rehabilitation sometimes is frustrating. It's downright discouraging, and every day we're reminded of things we'd like to change. But the point is that we also learn, in addition, how to live with ourselves and how to adjust and how to broaden our vision and broaden our interest in humanity and our fellow men, black or white or rich or poor. It can happen to anyone. We also learn there are great many, many hundreds and thousands of wonderful people out there, just as you've all found, we certainly salute you for your fine work and your efforts, and that's really what it's all about. We live in the greatest country on the face of the earth. Don't let anybody ever tell you any different, because the people in this country, the people in this state, the people in my state, and that's really what America's about, and we could tear it down and find fault with each other and do a great many things. But I like to stand up now and then and just talk about what's right with America. It's a pretty good place, don't you agree? I think it is fair to say that pineapple juice is better for you than peanut butter, but... For one thing, it doesn't stick to the roof of your mouth. And we do a lot of traveling around. We hear a lot of stories. And I might tell you this one. The only way I can think about staying out of politics to tell you a story. But I know it didn't happen anywhere in this area, sister. But this bear walked into a bar and ordered a beer. I know it wasn't in this area, but... and plunked a $5 bill down on the counter. And, of course, the bartender didn't know what to do, but he rushed back and took a beer out of the cooler and took the cap off and put it on the counter and grabbed the $5 and rushed back to the boss. And he said, "Boss, a bear just walked in and ordered a beer." He said, "What should I do?" He said, "Well, give it back a nickel. It won't know the difference." So he put a nickel on the counter, but after a while, he just couldn't stand it anymore. So he walked around and took a stool next to the bear. And he said to the bear, he said, "You know, we don't have many bears in here." And the bear said, "Don't suppose you do it, $4.95 a bottle." So. So I guess my point is, whether we're in politics or whether we're in medicine or whether we're taking care of someone or whether we're a patient, we can't take ourselves too seriously. And we've got to have a little fun out of life because we're only going around once. Well, maybe, I guess only once, depends. And so we want to make the most of it. So I'm just happy to be here and have a chance. I guess we're going to have a chance to visit, right? Visit with some of the patients and some of the nurses and some of the doctors. And I can only say that my interest in the handicapped is a continuing one. Doesn't make any difference that I'm on this platform today. It existed before that time, and it's going to continue beyond whatever happens on November 2nd. I have a preference on November 2nd, but I won't even go into that. But I will say that it's been a great honor and a privilege to be here, and I hope just by our visit, not my visit, but our visit, that it indicates again the great work you're doing. Not what we're doing, but the great work you're doing and the great work that the Stroke Hope is doing, and it's all worthwhile, and we're very happy just to play a small role in it. And I thank you very much.
You've taken time out of your schedule to be with us this afternoon. We can't tell you how much it means to us. And there are men and women in this room that I'd like to express appreciation to, so many of which I can't do it at all. But I do want all of you to know that Mr. Dalton Woods, who is Republican campaign chairman in the back of the room, Dalton's back there somewhere. Here he is, excuse me. Dalton was the man who made it possible for Jane.
Clear pineapple juice. Better for you than peanut butter. As I've been saying, for one thing, it doesn't stick to the roof of your mouth, but... well, I'm very pleased to be here, and thought I might just visit for a while. We've been... I think this is our 40th or 41st state since the 21st of August, so we have been busy. We're very pleased to be in Louisiana because we're going to carry the state of Louisiana. With your help, we're going to carry the state of Louisiana. Senator Mondale said today in Seattle, Washington, that, talking about the ticket, Ford and Dole, that they shouldn't be running for dog catcher, let alone president or vice president. Well, I don't want to suggest what he should be running for, but you've probably never seen him down here, except he was on TV last Friday night in Houston. We had a little stand-up press conference there, and it was called a debate. I thought it was a lot of fun, and I was very happy I could be there. I hope some of you had a chance to watch it. Did you all get to see the little debate last week? Well, I picked up a cold standing in that draft for 75 minutes, but... I feel better today having been out in the sun down here, in a little fresh air, and very pleased to be here. Somebody's about to arrive. I want to take just a few minutes. First of all, I want to express our thanks, because I know there are Democrats here and Republicans here and independents and probably a few just strolling through attending the wrong meeting. I don't know. But if they're here, I want to talk to them. I want to thank you for your support of the Ford Dole ticket. I think the choice is very clear on November 2nd. I think the American people are going to make that choice. It's going to be a close election. Don't misunderstand me. When I look at the South, and particularly the state of Louisiana, we go back just a couple of months, maybe a little longer than that, when Carter had a 30 to 40 point lead in the South, and now we're 2 or 3 points ahead in Louisiana. That's what I call progress. I do come from Kansas, and I do have a conservative record in the Congress. I think most Americans want less government. Most Americans want to see the government hold down spending. I believe most Americans want less interference. I think most Americans want a sound energy policy, and I said earlier today in Lafayette, I could take a second to talk about Governor Carter's energy policy. That's all it would take. He doesn't have any. But I could spend a great deal of time on Senator Mondale's voting record on energy, and we'd all be out in the cold if we followed his voting record. And let me tell you why. He was out in California the other day where it was about 80 degrees talking about the energy policy. He said President Ford didn't have a policy. Well, the truth of the matter is that President Ford sent a comprehensive energy plan to the Congress in 1975, and it's still there. The Congress hasn't acted. But how does Senator Mondale view America's energy needs, and how would he approach it? Well, the best place to go is to his voting record, and I'll just take a minute on this. He voted, first of all, to delay the Alaska pipeline for 14 months. That was his first contribution to solving the crisis. He's against decontrol of gas and oil prices. That's his second contribution. He's against the depletion allowance for independents. He doesn't care how big you are. You shouldn't have it at all, even if you're in the stripper-producing areas. And I don't know where this man thinks we're going to get the energy in this country. If he takes away your incentive and asks you to produce it without a profit, you're not going to stay in business if that's the case. And I would guess the industry means a great deal to Louisiana from a tax standpoint. His other contribution is to break up the oil companies. These are just 3 or 4 little minor things that I thought you might be interested in. Now, I know it's very popular politically in some parts of this country to talk about breaking up the oil companies, because they're supposed to be those giants that take all the profits, deprive you of energy and make your homes cold and raise the prices. But I'd always understood that the stockholders own most of those companies. And those stockholders were young Americans, old Americans, black Americans, white Americans, mostly middle-income Americans, who were trying to make a little profit. But even more important than that, where do we get our energy if we start breaking up our companies? That means a loss of jobs. That doesn't mean necessarily any more efficiency. Any lower cost, it just means politics. And I say take a hard look at the Carter-Mondale record in the field of energy. And I want to touch on just one more thing, and that's defense. I think we need one. I think we need a strong defense. And I really believe, and in the final analysis, President Ford is going to win this election because we're free, because we're not engaged in armed conflict, because President Ford wants to maintain a strong defense and the opposition does not. And that's going to make the difference on November 2nd. And I noticed I think you have a few B-52s nearby. I don't suggest Carter would close that base. I just suggest that they really don't understand. And I look again at Senator Mondale's record in the Senate. It's frightening. I'll tell you, it's frightening. And don't take my word for it. He voted against the B-1 bomber. We've had the B-52s for 30-some years. It'll be another 10 years before the B-1s are there. He voted against the Trident submarine, against the Poseidon missile, against the F-14 fighter. 25 or 30 weapon systems, he's voted no, 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 no. But every time they want to cut the defense budget, he votes yes, 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 yes. And I just ask the young men in this room and the mothers and the fathers and the grandmothers and the grandfathers, this isn't a partisan issue. It's not a Democrat issue, Republican issue. It's an American issue. It's an American problem. And there's nothing more important in my mind than peace in the world. And how nice it is to be going to college these days, not worrying about being drafted, not worrying about going off to some far-off land to fight a battle that no one knows whether we should win or lose or why we're there for certain. And we're at peace today. We're at peace today. And so I just say, finally, just stop and think about it. You can talk about all of Carter's spending programs. We could talk about Playboy. I haven't looked at the pictures. I did read the article. But they've always said a picture's worth 10,000 words. But you know, Halloween is coming up, and I think we ought to unmask Carter for what he really is. And I think he wants to spend your money. And don't let him get away with this fact that because he's from the South, everybody ought to vote for him. I don't really believe that holds water. I can't be your geographical neighbor. We have to give him credit for being closer to you geographically. But I would guess that everybody in this room is more concerned about our philosophy than where we live. And I can be your philosophical neighbor, and he'll be your geographical neighbor again after November 2nd. He's going back to Plains. Now, the peanut is the easiest nut to crack. I said that yesterday, then I couldn't crack one. You blow a few now and then, but I just say in all seriousness, there's a lot at stake in this election. If you're a Democrat, we doubly appreciate your efforts. If you're a Republican, well, we doubly appreciate your efforts, too. I don't want to lose the Republicans and end up with the Democrats. I just remind you what Senator Long said, and he's my chairman on the Finance Committee, and I like Senator Long. He was talking about Governor Carter's tax proposals and how he's going to have to tax middle-income Americans. He said it's like pulling a rabbit out of a hat. That was after the bunny article, but if it's like pulling a rabbit out of the hat, it's not going to work. You can tax all the rich and take away all their income, and you only raise about $5 billion. And Carter's talking about $100 billion in programs. Now, if you're a middle-income American, you better get prepared. Besides, Carter says you didn't want your taxes lowered anyway. That's what he said in the Associated Press interview. Anybody here doesn't want their taxes lowered? We have a doctor traveling with us. Be glad to send him around. So I just say thank you very much for coming. We deeply appreciate your help. If you'll work for us for 10 more days, we'll work with you for America for 4 more years. Thank you very much.
Did you hear the stuff of this hour? Thank you.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. My name is Forrest Dunn, and on behalf of the Ford Dole Campaign Election Committee, I welcome you this afternoon. In the most sincere way that I know, we want you to know that we appreciate you being here. We are especially honored for those who are handicapped among us, and also for our deaf supporters here in front. At this time, you will remain standing with me while the airline band plays our national anthem. For you this afternoon, to introduce to you a great American from the heartland of America, a man born in Kansas, who entered the United States Army as a lad of 20 years in 1943, and who became a great war hero. He was a man who, on the shores of Italy, suffered the destruction of two vertebrae, suffered the loss of one kidney, suffered extensive lung damage, and as a result, spent 39 months in the hospitals of this land attempting to recuperate, and even today still bears the scars that the Italians and the German armies inflicted upon him during World War II. After the war, he went to law school and finished law in Kansas, and was elected.
Thank you. Thank you very much. There's some here for Ford, some for Carter. There are always about a half a dozen Carter people in the crowd this size. But we're very pleased they're here, and I say that in all sincerity. You still have time to think about the election. Still have time to think about the issues. Still have time to think of what Governor Carter said. I know the sign says a leader for a change, but we're about to get a short change if he's elected.